Certainly that's appropriate for Martin Luther King, but it's appropriate any time that we're able to remember that vision. And again, thank you. I know it's not easy singing with the mask on, and you all are just wonderful servants that way. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay, I understand there was a problem last week with the microphone. I'm trying to remember how to fix this. Excuse me. All right. Hopefully that'll make it a little bit better.
It is.
All right. Good. Although the sermon's not any better, so I'm not sure that I'm doing you any favors. You would think, you know, I'm talking about shortages, but I don't know. So as you know, I'm not a TikToker, I'm not a tweeter, I'm not an Instagrammer, but I heard about this, and so I thought I would share it with you. I was a TikToker who recorded an interaction she had at Burger King through the drive-thru window. And the worker says, "We don't have any fries. We're out of number 3. We're also out of number 7, 8, 9, 10, and number 12. We don't have any mozzarella sticks, and our shake machine is down." We're talking about a serious shortage, you know, and she was laughing. She says, "We couldn't stop laughing. Here we are, stuck in I-95 traffic, and we can't even get fries." I mean, you're at Burger King, for goodness sakes. I mean, it'd be like Kentucky Fried Chicken being out of chicken, or Dairy Queen being out of ice cream, or God forbid, Starbucks being out of coffee. I just, you know, it's kind of funny on some of these shortages. And then, of course, there are some shortages that are not so funny. Remember the toilet paper shortage? Yeah, that wasn't so funny. This past few weeks, we've seen shortages with the mask, with the KN95 mask. And unfortunately, over the last few years, we've seen a shortage of brains. Common sense. We've seen a shortage of politeness and respect for others and for property. A shortage of character and integrity and honesty. Now, it's probably not going to come to a surprise to any of you, but I know about being short. I didn't wake up this way. I've been short all my life. Always the shortest one in the class. Always in the front of the group picture. I'm not just vertically challenged, I'm vertically non-existent. You can't get much smaller than me. And then Randy Newman has to go and make a song about it? Really? Because he thinks short people aren't getting picked on enough? I mean, it just... When Marlena was in high school and she had a job and she was working, they didn't call her Marlena. Do you know what they called her? 4'10". Because that was her height. Okay. Hey, 4'10", we need... You just... What the heck is going on? You just... Ugh. It just... I remember someone rear-ended me. I had a Dodge Omni at the time, and it was relatively new, and guy rear-ended me, and I get out of my car, and this huge guy gets out of this massive truck that is now, you know, busted my bumper, broke the back tailgate thing, and I say, "I'm not happy." And he says, "Which dwarf are you?" Obviously, my shortness is very, very easy to see. But there are some ways that I'm short that are not so easy, not so obvious to others. I'm short on sleep. I'm short on trust. I'm short on vision and dreams. And there are some ways that I'm not short. I'm not short on judging. I'm not short on pointing out other people's faults. I'm not short on anger. And then there are ways that I'm short that I don't want to see. I'm short on patience. I'm short on courage. I'm short on joy. And I don't know what happened. I didn't used to be short on those things. What happened? I think maybe I ran out because I didn't get replenished. I forgot where my source was. I tried to do it on my own. I didn't want to ask for help. Didn't even want to ask God for help. Didn't want to have to go to God with yet another failing. Didn't want to go admit again another failure, another weakness, another embarrassment. Didn't want to have to say, I have no wine. Shortage, scarcity leads to fear. And if you ever watch Star Wars, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And suffering leads to the dark side. We have fuel gauges in our car, and we have grace gauges in our souls. Gauges that let us know we have no wine. When our grace tank is full, when our grace jar is filled to the brim, when we have grace in abundance, it is obvious. It's like a wedding celebration filled with joy and love everywhere. Abundance leads to joy. There's a song in our hearts. Our faces are filled with smiles from our eyes to our mouth. Even our ears are able to hear joy and laughter. Check yourself out. Look in the mirror. Check out your smile. Are you known for smiling? You know, we have people around here who are known for their smiles. Right now, everybody just looked at Tiana. Yep, everybody knows she's got, even underneath the mask, she's known for her smiling. It just, you know, I know we're all wearing masks, but you know, you've seen people. You can tell they are smiling even with the mask on. In our gospel lesson today, we hear Mary speak. And in John, she's never called Mary. Always in John, it's called the mother of Jesus. And she only speaks two times in the gospel of John. And both times are important. The first time, they have no wine. It's like saying to Jesus, I need help. They have no wine. And then the second time she speaks, it's probably, possibly the best advice in the entire Bible. Do whatever he tells you to do. That's what she tells the servants. The wedding story that we have here in Cana of Galilee, it's not really a story about scarcity. It starts with scarcity. It starts with seeing a need. But it's really a story about abundance. Lavish, excessive, extravagant abundance. Jesus' transformation of water into wine clearly reveals God's generous nature. Jesus affirms the importance of joy and celebration and pleasure in conjuring up 180 gallons, 180 gallons of first-rate wine. God's capacity to transform the ordinary into the sacred. It's a story about God's abundance against our scorching scarcity. Regardless how we want to rewrite Mary's line for our circumstance, it rings true for all of us. They have no wine. It's the same as me saying to Jesus, I have no wine. It's me saying to Jesus, I need help. I judge too quickly. I judge too harshly. I don't forgive the way I've been forgiven. And so what do we do when we're facing these needs? And the first step is to be like Mary. We notice the need. We name the need. And we take that need to Jesus. We trust what God will do. We trust what Jesus does. We trust by doing whatever he tells us to do. The great danger is that if we don't get the help, what starts out as a little crisis ends up into a big crisis. People start out going over the budget, and then they end up in debt and shame. People turn procrastination into unemployment. Somebody has a problem being sarcastic or negative, and they never get help, and they find out that they don't have any friends. The truth is, it takes way more courage to say this one little word to Jesus, help, than it does to hide and pretend and deny and act like we don't need any. The alternative is to say, no thanks, God, I would just as soon live in a prideful, self-sufficient way that is absolutely leading me to disaster. Every wedding I've been a part of, something goes wrong. Somebody forgets a line, the flowers are the wrong color, organist doesn't show up. That never happened with Howard. In this wedding, they run out of wine. And in the ancient world, this is a very big deal. Hospitality was considered a sacred obligation. To run out of wine meant shame and disgrace for the family. It would forever taint the memory of the event. So we hear the story, and the challenge for us is, what are we running out of today? Look at your life. Are you running out of courage, patience, strength, hope? Who are you talking to about it? Are you willing to ask God for help? Are you willing to do whatever He tells you to do? That's how the kingdom works. When we serve God, we serve it with a fill-it-to-the-brim type of spirit, just like the servants did. And when we do that, we get to be a part of a miracle. We see the water turn to wine. The wedding gets saved. The big shots didn't know anything about it. The master of the banquet didn't know. The bride didn't know. The groom didn't know. The family didn't know. The only people who knew were the servants. When we're serving God, we get to see the inside picture of how God's kingdom works. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Can you imagine those servants when they came home that night and the family says, "How was work today?" Could you imagine? They go, "Wow, you would not believe what..." And I was a part of it. I got to be a part of it. I was one of the ones that filled the vats up with water. I'm the one. I didn't change it, but I filled it. I made it possible. I helped provide it. Soren Kierkegaard had a haunting observation. He says, "Christ turned water into wine, and the church has succeeded in turning wine into water." Mm. That's what we do when we try to live life without God. Mm. Because without God, grace just turns into rules. Goodness just becomes pride. Faith becomes excluding other people. We get grim and self-righteous. But when we admit our need, when we go to Jesus with our empty grace gauges and let go of that stupid arrogance and fear and self-sufficiency, when we go to Jesus and say, "I have no wine," when we tell Him what we're out of, when we do whatever He tells us to do, the glory of God gets revealed. Now, I know in our day, millions of people have been enslaved by alcohol. It's hell on earth. It's ruined their lives. And by God's grace, some of them have been able to turn to God. And God does this miracle of enabling them to stop drink. And God uses them to help other people who have that same problem. Now, this story is not about that. This is not a story about how sinful it is to drink. And it's not a story about how it's okay to drink. If we try to twist this story into something like that, we're going to miss the point. The message is not about water into wine. And this wine is not no Boone's Farm stuff. This is high quality Jesus wine. And you know what's on the label of a Jesus wine bottle? I'll tell you right now. It's grace. That's Jesus wine. Jesus' wine is grace. The message that we hear in this miracle is that Jesus took 100... Remember, these are jars for purification. Jesus took 180 gallons of laws and laws and more laws. 180 gallons of do this, don't do that. 180 gallons of more than 600 regulations. And He transformed all that. He changed all of that into a new meaning that would bust out the old wineskins. Jesus didn't just transform water into wine. He transformed us. And the first sign that He did was to take 180 gallons of guilt and turn it into grace. 180 gallons of grace. That's enough grace for the whole city. That's enough grace for the whole country. That's enough grace for the whole world. From the fullness of God's grace, right up to the brim that we have all received, grace upon grace upon grace. We're filled up to the brim with it. And if we have that much grace, how much more important is it for us to share it? This wedding story is all about grace, pure grace. There's not a single word of judgment in the whole story. It's 180 gallons of joy, juice, and happiness. But being a Christian is not like being a sourpuss or legalist or wallowing in guilt like pigs wallowing in mud. Some people do that. They just seem to wallow in that guilt. But grace does not make us feel guilty. Grace makes us feel loved. And when we're loved like that, it frees us to love others. Grace doesn't make us grumpy. It makes us joyful. Grace doesn't come by the thimble. It comes by the gallons, 180 gallons of God's abundance and joy and love. There is no shortage of God's grace. There is no scarcity. But there is a huge need. The world needs us to proclaim God's abundance. We need healing and hope. We need love and joy. And we cannot manufacture it ourselves. We can only distribute what we have received. We share God's grace. We share God's abundance that leads to grace, to joy, and a celebration of God's love. So we check our grace gauges this morning. And we look, and maybe we say, you know, I'm a little bit empty. And maybe we need to say to Jesus, Jesus, I have no wine. I have no grace. And then we listen to Jesus say, here, let me fill you up. I have plenty. Amen.
Amen.